Parshas Chayei Sara.
Oh my goodness. Good.
Parshas Chayei Sara. There seems to be machlokes rishonim exactly how to count the ten nisyonos. Mishnah says in Ovis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave ten nisyonos to Avraham Avinu. Seems to be machlokes exactly which one was a tenth nisyon. Most rishonim hold that a tenth nisyon was ultimately the akedah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ati Yadati, now I know, Kiroi Lekim Ato. And one can well understand that that was a tenth nisayon. Ultimately, Avraham Avinu was tested to offer up his only future for Klal Yisrael, to really sacrifice his whole idealism, the whole life he'd been fighting against animal sacrifice, human sacrifice rather. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to actually sacrifice his own very son, and Avraham Avinu did it. So one would imagine that, you know, Baruch Hashem, Avraham passed the test, and that was it. That was a final, that was a grand finale. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that the tenth nisayon was not the akedah. The tenth nisayon was the story over here when Avraham Avinu came back from the akedah of Chayei Sara. But Tomah Sara b'kiras Abba hi Chevroin, and the whole story that occurred from there with Ephroin. In other words, the akedah was not enough. Having the akedah, showing his dedication, showing his sacrifice to Rabbeinu Shleilom, did not ultimately show that he was the correct person to lead Klal Yisrael as being the first Jew. It wasn't enough. Only afterwards, with Parshas Chayei Sara, with his wife dying and not finding a place easily to bury her, that was ultimately the top, the most strenuous and most and most powerful nisoyin of them all. Because if it's not the most powerful, then ultimately it's not nisoyin. If Avraham Avinu is used to doing things harder than that, then obviously he would do things less than that, b'chlal mesayim on it. And if it must be the last nisoyin was ultimately testing something he wasn't yet tested for. And therefore it must be, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that negotiating with Ephraim and the whole story of Chayei Sara was worse and more difficult in nisoyin than ultimately offering up and sacrificing and slaughtering his own son. Sure. Now what was it? How could it possibly say that the nisoyin of Avraham Avinu, of Ephraim, was greater than that of the Akedah? Now let's understand who Ephraim was. Ephraim the Maisa was a classic euphemism of the used car salesman. Okay, the classic. There's always exceptions, but the classic. He starts off with one thing, I'll give it to you free, then I'll throw this in, but then ultimately this doesn't come with this, and he bumps up the price and eventually made Avraham Avinu pay an absolute fortune for a piece of land Avraham Avinu was first told he'll get for free. Okay, but that happens. You know, in business, people do trick on you, they do play around. You know, if you in real estate, then until the very last second, nothing is absolute. And therefore, Ephraim, the Maisa negotiator, he was a very good negotiator, and he got out of Avraham Avinu an absolute fortune. You know, people would say today, a good businessman. That's the biggest nisayon. Is that more to Avraham Avinu than about to kill his own son? As a bincha sheyichitcha shehavdes Yitzchok. How can he possibly compare one to the other? Okay, it costs him a lot of money and he shouldn't have paid so much. But that's compared with chalal to Avraham Avinu's nisayon on the Akedah. How can one even compare one to the other? How can you say it's greater? So one pishat we discussed in the past, and that is a very, very important point. If a person knew that they're being tested, you know, sometimes you get your phone through to a phone line for an insurance company or a car hire or one of this, and they said your call may be monitored for training purposes or for security, whatever it is, and therefore, let's just say they didn't say that. I doubt they'll be quite as polite as they are knowing the fact that they're very likely legally being taped. Yeah? There's a certain element of respect. Now, you know that you're on show. A person knows when they're going on a shidduch, they're on show, they've got to be the best behaved. It's very easy if you know you're being tested to behave in the correct way. But imagine a person is told, a Simon Shman came down and said, by the way, from tonight, from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, you're going to be tested. 5 to 6 o'clock tonight, you're going to be tested. And if you pass this test, everything will be fine. He knows. 5 to 6, everything's going wrong. His car breaks down. His fellow cuts him off. Somebody jumps in his car and spills a Coke on the back of his neck. His car keys fall down the drain and he doesn't say what he wanted to say. And then he helps. And he knows, but between 5 and 6, he knows that this is the hour that all the cameras from Shmaim are on him. So he knows that at 6 o'clock, everything's fine, Baruch Hashem. You know, if I did well, I did well. If I didn't, I didn't. Yeah? Everyone had a driving test. So you look very carefully and you put it in gear and you put the indicators and you know you're being tested, so you know. But if you don't know you're being tested and you think you've reached the peak, you think that Baruch Hashem now, I have reached the peak. I have gone through the nesoyon of willing to sacrifice my son on the Mizbeach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Atta Yadati, a bas kol came down from Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know who you are, Avraham Avinu. And I know you are an Eved Hashem. Atta Yadati, Kiyor Lekim Ato. Unbelievable compliment. And he expects to go back now and Sora waiting by the front door with his nice warm slippers and a cup of nice warm tea. And Avraham Avinu, please come and tell me how was it? Tell me what happened. How come Yitzchak came back? And he expects that to happen. And then after all that, he comes back and Sora's dead. And not only that, he can't even find a place to bury her. Some people would crack. Right there and then. He expects now his reflexes are that of calming down. He's in lower gear now. That he comes back and he controls himself like such a perfect gentleman with Ephraim, who's clearly ripping him off, that shows godless. I believe in a certain way, everyone has a journey through life. And the way I see it, certainly the some Bali Tshuva believe that once they become frum and they're committed, or once they become frum, committed, and they get married, or once they come frum, get committed, and get married, and have children, everything's going to be okay. Yeah, they've reached, Baruch Hashem, they've reached where they have to reach. And when they get in the Nesoyon then, and it's still difficult, to hang on then, that is the Nesoyon of Chayei Sora. To hang on when you think everything for sure, I deserve the very best now, I've come back from a journey, I've done what I'm supposed to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu for sure is supposed to give me a reward now, and he doesn't, and he kills Sora for you and doesn't give you a place to bury her. That is a tremendously difficult Nesoyon. And therefore the ultimate Nesoyon was, when things are going terribly difficult, to be in control, to be a gentleman. And to know that, no, I've got to be a gentleman even when he's not being a gentleman. I've got to behave myself even when he's not behaving himself. I've got to behave myself when I expect to relax. That is the difficult part of Parshas Chayei Sora. Over and above the Nesoyon of the Akedah. When you expect things to go well and expect the Nesoyon to be over and it's still the Nesoyon there, that's what's difficult. My father said once, my father's not a tall man. He remembers in school there was a big bully there. And a big bully, you know, because a Yosem, 10 years old, he came to England. He went to a Goshen school. And there's this big Scottish bully in his class. And my father's not a tall guy. And he's a true boy and he wasn't very nice to him. And so my father, you know, called him to a duel, not with guns, but with there was like a wrestling in the gym. There was like a wrestling match there, a wrestling area where he could wrestle. And my father said, "Okay, we'll wrestle. You see what Jews are like." So as he came, my father dived for his legs, pulled him up, and sat on him. And my father could see that he was struggling. And my father was struggling as well, and he was almost gave up. He says, if I hold another 10 seconds, he'll give up. He held another 10 seconds, and the guy did give up. And from that time on, you don't touch that Jew, he's my friend, you know, he was his guardian. But that is the koyach of the Nesoyon. The koyach of the Nesoyon is, wait 10 more seconds. Who knows, that little bit more Hashem is trying you, a little bit more. Don't be comfortable yet, don't put on your slippers yet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying a little bit more, just when you think it's all over, a little bit more. Had a terrible day, you know, the clients have been absolutely horrendous. The secretary is driving you crazy. You finally come home, and you find that your wife has locked you out. Your wife's locked you out. Okay, you phone her up, she doesn't answer, mobile phone. Okay, you eventually work out, oh, she's gone shopping, she didn't leave the key. Fine, you sit outside on the step outside, waiting for your wife to come back. After 2 hours, she comes back, Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, what did you buy? She got this huge, gigantic box. What's inside that box? A box of beautiful chinaware. How much did it cost, darling? It cost $300. Exactly the amount you made that entire day. Okay? As she comes in, she trips on the stair and crash. The whole thing breaks. Now, Gamzu L'Toiva. Baruch Hashem. You know, Bez Hashem, tomorrow I give you money to buy another crockery. No, don't worry. It all happens. Don't worry about it. Unbelievable. That guy's in the son of Chaya Sora. When he's got home, he expects to come home and have a nice, comfortable supper waiting for him. He's locked out. And she breaks out, and he's so calm and cool and collected. That is a mamish. That is Chaya Sora. And that is ultimate Nisoyim. Remember that. But you're about to get go? Chaya Sora. That's one pshat. Another pshat is a very, very, very powerful pshat. Very, very, very powerful. Let me give you a moshul. Now, when I came to this country, I did Aliyah 15 years ago. Aliyah is from the term Oleh, like a korban oila. We come totally consumed once you come to this country. And I made a condition with myself that whatever happens, I'm not Be'ezus Hashem going to get into conflict with a taxi driver. Yeah, Be'ezus Hashem, whatever it takes, I'm not going to get to conflict taxi driver. I'm not going to become one of them. Okay. By the way, taxi drivers over here in Beit Shemesh are phenomenal. But yeah. In other places, they really are. In other places, they don't have such a good reputation. Before you come in, a Monello or Ved, and it costs you extra because you're walking around with a sesame bun in your top jacket pocket. I didn't know you had you're a tourist. Another 30%. Right? They don't have the ethics of the black cab drivers in England, where they have the thing and it goes up £14 every minute. But they don't have those ethics, and they decided whatever it takes, I'm not going to get into conflict with them. It's not going to happen. Now imagine in this situation. Listen carefully now. You get into a cab, and it's a 5-minute trip. You know it's a 5-minute trip, and you know it costs 20 shekel. You know you've been on that same trip every day for the last 5 years. It costs you 20 shekel. Okay, you get in the cab, and the cab driver says, "Hamonel ovid." Yeah, doesn't work. The money doesn't work. Someone's going to cost. My brother, you know, I'm going to rip you off. I'll just say, bye, yeah, when you get there, I'll give you a good price, don't worry. Okay, you foolishly fall for it. And you get to there, 5 minutes later, he charges you 80 shekel. 80 shekel, something that costs you 20 shekel. Okay, now, there are various different options of words one could use. What do you do now? So you can say to him, excuse me, you know, it's 20 shekel, I'll do this every single day. You do it every day. Tishma, excuse me, do you work in this? I'm a cab driver. I know better than you. Yeah, I know how long it takes. So far, no, I've been here every day. Achi, ma, I'm going to lie to you. You know what? Don't pay me anything. Leave my cab. Don't pay me anything. You know what? Yeshdin ba yeshdayan. You come back as a gilgal. You know, they know all the different manipulative terms. You come back as a gilgal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, will pay you back. I don't need your money. You know what? It's all min hashamayim. Leave. Don't pay anything. I want to pay you, but I want to pay you a correct fee. 20 shekel appear every night. Every night 20 shekel, yeah? Yeah, 20 shekel. Probably from here to Turkey, because 20 shekel too, yeah? Al taseli shtuyot. You don't want to pay. You know, and this whole company going up and up, right? So eventually he comes to a compromise. And he says, listen, 20 shekel, you pay me 20 shekel. And the other 60 shekel that you don't believe is I'm entitled to, I'll give to any tzedakah you want me to give it to. Tell me tzedakah. Rebbe Balanes, Kupel Shel tzedakah. You know, Yeshiva Takotel, or Avram, you know, we name it. Any stock you want me to give it to, I'll give it to. What is an average person going to say?
No.
What's that?
No.
Why?
Because he probably won't give it to them.
No. He promises to give it to them, for sure he'll give it to them. You know what? You know what? There's an Oni outside the window. There's an Oni outside the window. And the Oni, yeah? If you give the 80 shekel to the driver, he will give that 60 shekel straight to that Oni. And you'll see, it's going to happen.
I've done my master.
What's most people going to say? Why not?
You didn't.
Business is business, tzedakah is tzedakah. You know, if I want to give the guy tzedakah, that's up to me. Okay? Right now, you're entitled to 20 shekel, not more than that. And therefore, business is business. Tzedakah is tzedakah. If I want to give tzedakah, I give my tzedakah myself. Thank you. You don't need to take my tzedakah and give it to somebody else. That is what the average person would say. Okay? Now, again, let's take a different situation. This Oni, he goes out the taxi and he pays in that 20 shekel. There's been no fights at all. There'd be no fights at all. Okay? This Onik comes up to him with a very, very good story. A trusting, you know, he's got a trusting look on his face, and he's got a very good story, got all the letters, and he gets, you know, he gets his sympathy. Would he give him 60 shekel? He'd give him 60 shekel. Yeah, you've got, you know, this guy really has given you a very good story. Now, because his wife is old and his daughter's got to get married, and his house has been repossessed, and he needs a heart transplant. Well, his mumish got the story. Very, very good story, right? You'd give him 60 shekel. What's the difference? Why? Why will you, in case A, with the tax driver, not give the tax driver 80 shekel and he gives 60 shekel? And the second case, you give the 60 shekel. What's the difference? End of the day, you're both walking out. End of the day, after 5 minutes, 80 shekel is out of your pocket. What's the difference? The difference is very, very simple. There's a certain element of a person feeling they're in control. A giver is a giver. A giver is somebody who has a feeling of giving. He has a feeling of being generous. I am in control. A person can give everything. A person can sacrifice all their money. A person can be willing to sacrifice their own child. A person like Avraham Avinu. You can sacrifice going to Mitzrayim and no famine. I can sacrifice my comfort of leaving my home of Lech Lecha. I can sacrifice everything. I can sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice. But the Maaser, I am in control. I am the one giving. I feel that I am giving to you. I am power. You understand that? I am power. And therefore, when you appreciate that I am giving to you, I am giving to you something of mine, you are to a certain element indebted to me, and I am feeling very good of the fact that I am the giver. When, however, you don't feel you're the giver, why? Because he feels he's entitled to the money, and therefore you're going to get no thank you for it, and he is taking the money from you without giving you a thank you, thinking that you are in the wrong, you're the one who's arguing about 80 shekel, you are wrong, it should really be 80 shekel, you should be ashamed of yourself as a frum Jew to argue and trying to stop a person trying to make his parnasa. Now I've got family to support. Yeah? You don't want my children to starve to death? Ma, ata lo yodi, ata lo mitbayesh. Right? And when you take your 80 shekel and give him 80 shekel, why? Because you are giving to him because he feels he's entitled to it. In that case, you're not the giver. Do you understand? You're not giving, being generous to him. He is taking rightfully what belongs to him. That's not called generosity. And therefore, that is the difference between case A and case B. With the 80 shekel, 60 shekel going to this poor man outside, that is a case where he is taking from me without me being the giver. He has managed to negotiate out of me something that I did not want to give. In other words, he is taking without my control. I am not in control there. In that case, it's very difficult to give, even to tzedakah. But in the case where I feel that I am the giver, somebody comes to me and I feel sorry for him, and I open my wallet and I give him 60 shekel, I am the giver, that is something else completely. That is, I'm in control, that is not as hard. Avraham Avinu, in all the other 9 Nisyonos, look at it however way you wish. Whether it's leaving his comfort of his parents, leaving the place where he lived, it was sacrificing his comfort. It could be sacrificing his life by going out and fighting these kings for the sake of Lot. It could be sacrificing his child by giving up Yitzchok on the Akedah. But it's all him sacrificing. It's all him giving. Parshas Chayisara is a case where somebody pulled something out of Avraham Avinu where he imagined he was entitled to it. Ephraim. Beni ben Asmachal Mahi. You know, it's a deal. It's a complete, utter deal. You're lucky to get such a cheap deal. And you've got to thank me for giving you a piece of land that Kodesh Baruch Hu promised to give to you. He is the taxi driver who is ripping you off a huge amount of money for something that you know very well you have no obligation to give. And the Maisa, what did Avraham Avinu do? He gave that without a word, without even a machshava. What even a maharher? He didn't even think. Why? Because over there, he is not only sacrificing what he's giving, he's sacrificing himself. He's completely being mevatel who he was. A person cannot be mevatel. A person cannot completely give up, cannot give away to the other person unless he completely annihilates who I am. With a giver, there's a me giving. There's a me sacrificing. There's a me being generous. With Parshas Chayisara, there wasn't a me. There's Avraham Avinu completely saying, I am absolutely nothing. You want to take something from me? So there is no me. Of course it's yours. That was the ultimate nesoyim. There are times when a person wants to help you, and you know it's a pain in the neck for the person to help you. You don't want the person to help you. That person's only going to get in the way. But you know what? That person needs you to need him. For you to ask him, beg him to help you when you don't even want him, and he, alright, he'll help you, which is ultimately him doing you a favor, which is really you doing him a favor, that is the most gewaldige chesed. And you've got to give him a thank you. You've got to thank him very much. You're going to ask, thank you, child, very, very much, you know, for washing the dishes, and you've got to wash them all over again, because he feels good that he washed them. That is vital. That is a level above, and that is gavlus. That is a tenth nesoyin. So tenth nesoyin is not about giving. It's about cancelling out who you are and letting the other person take you for a ride sometimes. And not get worked up about it. That is absolute gavlus. And that's Parshas Chayesara.
In the dialogue between Avram and Abram, he said, "Yeah, I'm free," and Abram's like, "No, I'm going to pay." How is it? What is it? It sounds like you, Abram didn't want him to pay, and he said, "No, I'm paying. You're fine. I'm paying millions of dollars." Why is Abraham offering to pay, and he was saying, "No, don't pay. Just pay. I'll pay. Listen to me. I'm paying. Pay with cash."
I believe it was a mekach tos. I believe if he would have gone through with this kind of sale or this kind of matana, it was a matana batos, he would never have been willing to give the matana. It's all done in front of kol kahal va'ida. It was not something he wanted to do, and therefore ultimately it's mekach tos. Yeah, Ephraim wanted money. It says later on, beini ben asmecha, between me and you, also between me and you. It's a famous story, you know, with this communist leader standing up. You know, and if I'll have only one colt, I give the colt to my friend, I give half to my friend. If I have one car, I give, everything. When it came down to things he actually owned, yeah, that he's not willing to give somebody else. That's between me and you. That's something quiet. That's between, in other words, standing up in public, you're willing to give everything away. But between Beini ben Asbach, between me and you, you get to the person, the real essence of the person, is not willing to give away anything. Ephraim is not willing to give it away. Ephraim knew he wanted money. It was just a publicity stunt. And therefore Avraham Avinu had no right to just take it away when clearly he wanted the money.
How is that similar to him being the car salesman, taxi driver, rip-off merchant?
Because he first starts off with nothing and he jumped up to a huge price, and then he says, Beini ben Asmachal, between me and you. It's nothing! It's come between you, he is nothing! What do you mean it's nothing? I'm giving you a huge price and you say thank you. No. I'm giving you such a good deal, you've got to appreciate what I'm giving you. That is vital. That is outstanding midas. But Avraham Avinu has to thank him Noach for ripping him off. That is outstanding. And that is the ultimate nesoyin. Greater than giving away your own child. You understand that, Rabbi Yisai? It's greater than giving away your own child, giving away anything of what you are. And that is vital. Being mevater. Somebody says something and you don't react. That is vital. That is godless. That is greatness. That is Chayesara.
You said level of payment in order for the salmon to be rescinded.
It could make a kinyan. It could have made a kinyan. Ultimately. If you really wanted to do it, could have made a kinyan. Yeah. As a matana. As a matana could have worked. The parasha goes through and discusses something else in greatness of Midas. And that is Eliezer, the phenomenal Eved of Avraham Avinu, who, while not living under labor and misapprehension, he was actually believing for a moment that Yitzchok should marry his daughter. Only because of Ein Orem Mistabek B'Boruch, there's a genetic problem there, Yitzchok never married his daughter, but otherwise, perhaps he would have. In other words, he didn't hear the very, very great person. And he goes through and he davens and he asks the Kodesh Baruch Hu, please give me the right shidduch for my master's son. And the parasha goes through and tells us exactly what happened, then he tells us again what happened, and he said over again what happened. In other words, the parasha takes a tremendous amount of time discussing one very, very important story. Now, there's one part over here which is puzzling. The pasuk says, yeah, Vayhi hu terem kila ledaber. When he's finished davening, behine Rivka yetsis ashiyodu lebesol b'milkash eishes nochah chi Avram mechadal shichmo. In other words, the daughter of Besol goes out, the wife of Nochah, which happens to be his family, finds out later, and she's got a kad al shichmo, a jug on her shoulder. Vanara teiras mara ma'oid besula v'ishla yoda v'teirat ha'ayno v'teirat ha'ayno v'timale chadu v'toal v'teirat ha'ayno. What's v'teirat ha'ayno? Says in Mefarshim. Says in Mefarshim. V'teirat ha'ayno means what?
She put the jug down.
Chazal say that the water came up to water.
Oh,
rose up to water.
Later on.
But he said, listen, let's get the picture here. Eliezer is sincerely davening to find a shidduch for Yitzchak. It's got to be a good shidduch. Otherwise, not a good shidduch, nothing to talk about. He says, Rabbi Yishlein, I'm going to give her a test. Somebody who's very, very kind and generous and be willing to feed not only me, but feed my camels who drink a tremendous amount of water, she is going to be the one for my master's son, for Yitzchak. Right? Otherwise, I won't know. Suddenly, a three-year-old girl comes along with a little jug on her shoulder, and instead of going and putting the water, going down towards the water and filling the jug with the water rises up towards her. A nes min hashamayim. Absolute nes. Straight out nes. Amazing! Amazing! So what would you say if you were Eliezer? Baruch Hashem, we found somebody. A tzedekes. So forget about giving my camels a drink. Please come along here, you're a tzedekes. The world is changing because of you. In other words, Rabbeinu Shlomo is willing to change the whole mitzias ha'olam. Rabbeinu Shlomo is willing to change the very usual manner of how the world runs for this girl. She's a tzedekes. Take her. Take her. That's it. That's all you need. Why do you have to test afterwards and now say, okay, please can I have something to drink? And then she's got to go through the whole process and she has to give the camels as well. You found out who she is. She's a tzedekes. What's your problem? That's all you need to know. She's a tzedekes. Forget about the test now. You know that. You have the answer. She's a balas meifas. She's a girl who made tremendous mofsim. Mofsim do not happen. Miracles do not happen by people who do not know how to relate properly with people or how to relate properly with the Rebbeinu Shleilam. So you found somebody who's a tzedekes. What's your problem? There's a famous story. There's two teretzim. The first teretz is a famous story in Slabodka. Now, Slabodka was the yeshiva in learning. The yeshiva in learning. It was the best bocher in there that had the Alter von Slabodka, not Zvi Finkel, the Alter von Slabodka. Well, he imbued in his Talmidim the gadlus ha-Torah, the koyach ha-Torah, the majesty of Torah. Torah was everything. One day, a new bocher, came into the yeshiva. His name was Isaac Shur. Isaac Shur. He came into the yeshiva. And very, very quietly, one boy asked him a kasha, and he answered. Another boy asked him another kasha, and he answered. So a couple of the older bochrim want to find where this guy is holding. So what they tested him without him really feeling he's being tested. And the guy knew the whole of Shas. As a bocher, he knew the whole of Shas. Another one tested him, and this bocher knew the whole of Shulchan Aruch. Unbelievable! This bocher has never been a bocher like this, coming into Slabodka. Slabodka, nobody has ever come into Slabodka like that. So the bochum were discussing him amongst each other. One says, he's a boki b'shas. How old is he? He's already boki b'shas. And one says, boki b'shas. Shulchan Aruch too. How many bochum know any in halachas Shulchan Aruch? There's a whole Shulchan Aruch. One third bocha said, you know something funny? I was speaking to him and his mamish a mensch. He's a geshmaka mensch, as he said. He's a geshmaka mensch. He said, you know, he's a very nice person. So I laugh at him. He's a geshmaka mensch. You know, shas is a geshmaka mensch. You know, he's a big geshmaka mensch. Yeah, you know, shas, no Shulchan Aruch, a geshmaka mensch. The Alter von Slabodka was standing right there. And he said, no. The most important thing is, he's a geshmaka mensch. That is what's important. And years later, the Alter took Isaac Shur, who was Hagoyin of Isaac Shur, for his daughter. He became the son of Alter von Slabodka. One can be a tremendous tzedekes. One can work mofsim and shemayim, and you can make the water come up towards you. But if you're not a mensch, if you can't test a person's midas and see that a geshmaka mensch, that is not a wife for Yitzchak. A person can be a miracle worker, but it's not enough. You've got to be a mensch. That is what's more important than being a miracle worker. That's one pshat. Another pshat is very, very powerful. And that is, it is very, very easy for a person to be on a certain level at one stage of their life. You can be a miracle worker, you can be a tzedekes, But how do you absolutely guarantee you're going to remain on that path all your life? So the commissioner says, "Eze hu derech yishorish yad bekula adam." What's a derech that a person should cleave to? So one says ayin toiv, one says all different, and one says ayin toiv. What's ayin toiv? Being forgiving somebody else. One says leif toiv, and it says leif toiv. That's the correct thing. What's yad bekula adam? That is over there. So the baruch matzah yad bekula adam is the idea of where are you going to guarantee the person going to be good all their life. Now listen to this, Rabbi Yisrael, this is again coming back to the first point. The fact that she could be kind, and she was a balas midas, and she was tzedekah, so water came up towards her at that stage, was no proof that she's going to remain that way. Who said she's going to remain that way? We have to test her, push her to the limits, and see whether she has a leif toiv. Now how do you see if she has a leif toiv? How do you know she's good-hearted? You know what? Take advantage of her. We are going to ask her now for the camels. What's the camels? Camels, you know, they much they drink. And we're going to watch a three-year-old girl, a little hands, going down and filling up. Little girl, she wasn't big, she was a little girl of three, going down with a little pitcher and schlepping up the water. And you've got these big, strong men. The Medrash says that Eliezer took the camels from one side and carried them to the other side. They're huge, strong men, and they're just sitting there, you know, swigging their beer and smoking. And this little girl's coming up again and again and again. Eventually, you say, "Azev tazev imoy." The pasuk says, "If I'm willing to help you, if you help me." And they're just watching, and she does it. And she does it with a geschmack, she does it with a happiness, she brings backwards and forwards, she brings it. What's the idea? The idea there is, if they would have helped her, she would have felt upset, because she wanted to do it. She did not want their help. If they would have taken away some of her chesed, she would have been devastated. That is a leif toiv. Leif toiv is somebody who not only does maisa chesed, but is so tuned into chesed that you can take advantage of them, and they can never feel a krech. They don't feel they're sacrificing anything. They don't feel they're giving up anything. You get people who are mamash mois nefesh. You get the hatzolo drivers, for example, right? Some people haven't been home. A certain hatzolo driver I spoke to, he's never been home for... He's the first time, he said, in years, he's home for susa mafsekes with his wife and children. Always on the way to hospital or back. Unbelievable! Unbelievable! You know? So how do these people do it? So some of them... To be very fair, some of them love the thrill. You know, it's action. You got the lights, and you got attention. You drive this person, and breaking every single traffic fence, and you know you're getting into town, and everyone moves out of the way. Yeah, it's a feeling of power, it's a feeling of excitement. But some people, ultimately, it wears you down. Do it again and again and again. The thrill's gone, and they do it because they have leif toiv, because lemaisa they have a good heart. That is a guarantee. If you can take advantage of somebody, and they don't fight back, and she's willing to do it when they're just sitting around. If she's willing to do it in a case where clearly she doesn't have to do it, and she wants to do it, that is a guarantee she's going to remain that way. And therefore this is a yisod of chayesorah. Chayesorah is two yisodos. Number one, vitor. And number two, vitor.
What was the way before you said? Before leif toiv?
Ayin toiv. But the main thing is leif toiv. It's vitor. It's all about not looking that I am sacrificing, I am giving, I'm not here. It's ultimately anything that can be taken from me, which I'm not here, that is ultimately what I want to give. That is sacrificing your very self. Not me giving, but sacrificing the very me in me. That is the parashat Chayesorah. And that is Gadlus. That is created Avraham Avinu to be the first Jew, and that's what we created Rivka to be, the wife of Yitzchak, the second.
How is that different than turning the other cheek?
Turning the other cheek is a din and din. In other words, there's a Christian aspect of turning out the cheek, let a person take advantage of you, and don't take them to din. That's nothing to do with chesed. Not allowing, nobody asked, you know, nobody beat Rivka up and said, okay, beat me up again, you know, I don't mind. There's a difference between allowing yourself to be trampled on and doing chesed beyond the norm and not feeling bad about it. Understand? Nobody is asked to be a doormat. But some people are just, their homes are just unbelievable, they're just open. And you can't believe how they're doing it. How do they do such a thing? The answer is, they got a leif toiv. And with the leif toiv, there's no stopping chesed. Because they don't even feel they're sacrificing. They don't even feel they're giving. On the contrary. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for giving this opportunity. That is a chiddush of leif toiv. That's a chiddush of vitor. Not giving, but actually being mevatel yourself. Completely being cancelling who you are for the sake of the other person. That is the ultimate assign, and that we have to remember. They'll not be.